Message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity now to hear your word. Speak to us. Minister to us as only you can by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you will say to us and how you shall challenge us. We give you praise, glory, and honor for the principles you shall reveal and then the power to practice them so that we might profit from them and give you all praise. It is in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Come on, give God some praise in this house. From the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, I just want to lift out verse 19 in your hearing. Isaiah 57, verse 19. And the word says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace. Unto him far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Isaiah is speaking both a present and a prophetic word from the Lord as he speaks historically about Israel and pragmatically about us. Right. It's important to understand when he talks about Israel in this manner. This 57th chapter deals with both the righteous and the wicked. And Isaiah has a glimpse from God about God's dealings and feelings concerning both. Have you ever wondered why the young die early? Good people die sooner than expected, why the righteous is moved off the scene and almost no one asks why? Well, in the first two verses of Isaiah 57, God gives us the answer. And ultimately, he says it's because he's saving them from greater troubles that are ahead. I'm so glad God can see what we cannot see. He knows what we do not know. He understands what we do not understand. But if we trust him, he has our best interests at heart. One of the things that you'll note as we go into this, and I'm prayerful as how God would have me to move through it, because I know our time is of the essence, but I ask that you would spend a little time going through these verses, because you begin to see from God's own mouth and from God's own heart how he speaks concerning the wicked. Now, I want to throw out parenthetically so that we'll understand, these same folk he's speaking about were his own children. His own people, those who had been blessed by him, those who had received the abundance of his goodness, those who had tasted and they saw that he was good, those who had an experience with him. I'm not talking about people who did not know him, but rather those who knew him and forsook him. It's one thing to never have known God and lived in a world of sin and a world that has no regard for God. And it's a whole nother thing to leave out of his house and then go into the house of the enemy and act like you never knew God. It's one thing to walk out of his house, walk into the world, and act like you're not a child of the Most High God. And God has, and he takes issue with Israel about this, but he also takes issue with us about this. And so when you begin to read this, he goes on, and as he's making his appeal to them to understand their plight to come, he also recognizes that there are some whose heads are messed up worse than their hearts. And because a lot of them are those who follow them who don't have good hearts, they've gotten caught up and twisted in things that are not of God, and yet they followed the wrong people in the wrong crowd, and they have done things that so displeases God. But God sees their heart, and he's making a path to return back to him. He's going to restore his people with the right heart, whose minds now are messed up, to return back to him. And he makes a way for them to return to him. I'm grateful that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And lest we sit here and act like we are perfect and holier than thou, all of us have messed up in ways that we really don't have an excuse for. Truth be told, that we can see ourselves in this picture. But here's what I want you to understand. When Isaiah gets to the point where God is revealing to him that there is hope for the people, look at what he says in verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. And one of the reasons why y'all didn't shout on that part is because obviously you don't understand that part. Listen at this, because I want you to understand what he's saying. God is saying, I create, produce the opportunity and the reasons for praise and thanksgiving. In other words, everything that you've got a reason to shout about, God is behind it. Every reason you've got to say thank you, Jesus, for, God is behind it. Everything you've been blessed with,
every gift you have, every opportunity you've been given, it is God who is working behind the scenes, creating them for you to give Him praise and thanksgiving. I can't begin to tell you how important your praise is to God. That's why He creates situations. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, why would He say let everything that hath breath praise the Lord unless He was the one that blessed everything to praise the Lord? He doesn't have a right to say let everything that had breath praise the Lord unless He gave everything that had breath a reason to praise the Lord. Let me try and make it a little simpler. He says, I create. The same word create from the Hebrew word bara. Bara. It is the same word He used in Genesis chapter 1 when it says God created the heavens and the earth. But before He did that, He saw that it was dark, void, formless, shapeless, nothingness. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when He looked at your life that was full of nothing, that was void and empty and dark, out of that nothing He created a reason for you to praise Him. God gave you a reason out of the mess that you are to be able to give Him praise and thanksgiving. That's why nobody has a right to sit in God's house and not give God praise. Can I tell you, first, He woke you up this morning, gave you a reasonable portion of your health and your strength, kept you in your right mind, gave you activity of your limbs. I could keep on going, but I'm just trying to tell you, great and small, has He given you reasons to praise. And what I love about this word create, what He says is, even right now, if you don't see it, notice the word didn't say, I created the fruit of your lips. He says, I create. This is actually in the perfect tense, which means He makes it. He's made it yesterday. He creates reasons today, every day, every morning. Your benefits are brand spanking new. And I got news for you. What you're looking for today ain't here today. Just hold on till tomorrow, because He's got the power to create it tomorrow. I create the fruit. I produce the fruit of your lips. Be careful what you let come out your mouth. And you were created to make His praise glorious. Glorious. When you want to have a pity party, when you want to feel down about your circumstances, about your situation, God says, I create reasons for praise and thanksgiving. And then notice He goes on and He says, peace. Peace. Shalom is the Hebrew word. This is divine peace. This is godly peace. This is real peace. The first time He speaks of peace, it is the subject of peace. The second time He says peace, it is the matter of peace. Let me make it plain. When He says peace, it is the subject that God introduces to His war-worn people. All right, all right. That He's going to restore back into their rightful place, into their rightful covenant agreement with God. He's going to return them back to where they belong, and he's going to give them peace. Peace. This first peace comes concerning Israel historically. This is the peace that he's talking about. But then that's for those who are near.
All right.
That Isaiah speaks about. Yeah. But then when he talks about peace again, he's talking about the matter of peace. Right. Ready to read Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. 13 through 17. This is important because I need you to see this part where this peace comes in that is now introduced through Jesus Christ. This is the prophetic peace that he's talking about, the matter that will materialize through Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. All right, Rita, you ready? It's important to recognize that these two together, the peace that God speaks as a subject, because let me say something to you. I don't care how much stuff you got. If you don't have peace underneath the skin, I don't care how high on the hog you're living. I don't care how many friends you claim you have around you. I don't care how much you say life is good. If there is no peace with God and peace underneath the skin, then all of that is void. Let me know when you're ready. Read.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh.
Listen at this.
By the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh.
Amen. Now, you realize this is the same message that God spoke to Israel. Jesus is speaking in his day and time to those who are there, and again, yet prophetically, to all those who are afar off, those who would come after Jesus Christ. What he provided by way of the cross is man's way of having the peace of God and the peace of the Son of God, only that is able to give them what is necessary, that peace that passeth all understanding. There are things God has provided, God has done, that must come through him alone and through not another. And without that peace of God, your life will never have the fullness that God desires, nor will you ever be able to have rest in your spirit without having the salvation of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. What Jesus did, none other could do, and he took on the form of flesh. That was the matter. He made what God spoke in subject a reality in the flesh. He was the peace that was personified so that we could know peace like we've never known peace before. And that's why he is the Prince of Peace. Somebody give him a hand of praise if you understand what I'm saying. And he says to him who is far off, speaking about the Gentiles, speaking about those who are yet to come, speaking about those who have not yet heard the gospel that is being preached, the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of those who hear that peace, yes, and come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ will have that matter of peace that only Jesus can give. And even to the Jews who had forsook him, I came to my own, and my own received me not. But then their hearts are turned by the preaching of the gospel and the accepting of Jesus Christ as the only one who could pay for their sins. The only payment that God would receive. And so accepting Jesus, they too would come into that saving knowledge. And after, listen at this, after they are saved, then he says, and conjunction, tying together the peace with the restoration and the healing, I will heal him. Now listen at this, because this is so important. You know, to get the healing that one truly needs is not just the healing of the flesh, but the healing of the soul. The oneness with God. The place that the soul truly needs to be healed and whole and one with God. The healing that takes place in the supernatural, the spiritual realm, is the wholeness that God offers to his people. He says, and I will heal him. Now this word heal comes from the Hebrew word Rapha, which is also the Lord of healing, which means in the same word that he is able to completely cure and make totally whole. Now, this is what I love about it. He has the ability in this same word heal to restore, because it literally means to cure you completely, so much so that you are whole in every sense of the word, that there is not even a fragment of brokenness left in you, that you are restored back to your original condition, where even under x-ray, you can't even see where the bones have been broken. You see, one thing about a healing is, in the natural sense, the skin can cover up where bones have been broken, but if you x-ray them, you can see where the bones were mended back together and the fragmented hairlines that show where the bone was broken at. But when God heals you, there is no remembrance there. In the wholeness of your healing, there is no place where men can look back, even in x-ray vision, and see where you were ever broken at. I thank God for that kind of healing that restores you to such a place where you don't even remember where you were broken at. You remember as a restorer when the prodigal son had come back home. And he prayed that he had sinned against heaven and his father was no longer be worthy to be called a son, but make him as a hired servant. And he said he was going to go back home and tell his father all of those things. But when he came back home, his father was already looking for him. The father had already had reconciliation on his mind. He had already had restoration on his mind. And I got news for somebody who's missed it. I've got news for somebody who's fallen. I've got news for somebody who's gone down the wrong path. I've got news for somebody who's been broken into many pieces. God's been looking for you, and he's been looking to restore you. Not to tear you down, not to break you further up, but to show you I've been waiting on you to come back home. Let me show you what happens. So the son comes back home. He tells the father all of these things. And what does the father say to him? Nothing. He rather speaks to the servant, bring me some slippers to put on his feet. Bring me a robe to wrap around, cover his nakedness, his brokenness, and all of those things that I'm going to restore back the robe again he has covering him up and all of his mess. He says, bring the ring. Put it on his finger. And then, oh yeah, kill the fatted calf. Now, can I help you understand why he did all that? The shoes were so that he could walk back into his place. The robe was to cover him to say that you have not lost your possessions totally. I'm going to restore you. The ring said, you're not going to be a servant. I'm restoring your position back as my son. The fatted calf was always for the guest of honor, which said that this was a house welcoming you not only in peace, but in love, and that you were able to share our wealth, and to have that given to the son was the highest honor, because he was treated as a guest of honor with all of the privileges due somebody who was worthy of the fatted calf. Now, isn't that some kind of love? When you missed it, been broken, walked off from God, turned your back on God, come back broken, God picks you up, turns you around, cleans you off, repositions you, give you everything you lost, and then celebrates you. Say, this was my son who was lost, but is found. Was dead, but now alive. God creates the fruit of our lips for praise and thanksgiving. Look at your life. Look what the Lord has done. And when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you, you ought to be able to give him praise, glory, honor. He's worthy. Come on, give him praise in the house. Bless his holy name. Hold on, change is coming. Somebody might be in a place right now that you don't understand. You left God. God never left you. But I got news for you. Help is on the way. God has restoration and reconciliation on his mind. Don't let the devil tell you it's all over. When God says, you can come to me and I will receive you. Yesterday, a man said to me, he said, how can you smile when your world is crumbling down? I said, here's my secret. When I want to cry, I take a look around and I see that I'm getting by. Then I hold on. Change is coming. Hold on. Don't you worry. hold on. You can make it. Hold on. Don't you worry. Some people like to worry. Some people like to hide. Some